Hi, this is Rebecca Waldecker, and this is a podcast episode about a workshop that we did. The workshop was on networking. I think it was called A Newcomer's Guide to Networking, and we had a wonderful discussion with a lot of depth and texture, many details. And in the beginning, we discussed that I would take extensive notes and that I would try and do a podcast episode that captures most of what we have discussed. So good luck with that. I have no idea whether it will be possible for me to capture everything we did, but I will try my best. In particular, this is meant for you as a reminder and also as encouragement to keep working on this topic. Take the questions up again, think about them a bit more, reflect a bit more, take some more notes and see what might have changed during the discussion or just by sleeping on it one more night. And please keep thinking about it, please keep experimenting, and it will be very interesting for me to maybe pick this up at some other time and see what has happened in the meantime. Since I will be talking a lot now, I brought a cup of tea, so occasionally there might be little breaks because I just have a sip of tea. And also, yes, maybe I would like to begin by explaining the workshop format. So we have just been a group of people sitting there, just in case someone listens who was not at the actual workshop, right? We were just sitting there and talking. So I asked lots of questions and then people took time to reflect, to take some notes, and then we shared. Everyone just shared what they were comfortable sharing. And sometimes we had some questions back and forth, maybe some additions. With a break in the middle and some cookies. And at the end, we had a really extensive conversation where each individual person discussed their own networking personality type, so to speak. And there was a lot of peer coaching where people gave each other advice and hints and shared experiences. So this was really deep. It took a long time. It was the end of the workshop. It was very intense and very fruitful, I thought. So this is what happened. And first of all, thank you all. Thank you so much for showing up. And I don't just mean that you showed up physically in the room. I mean that you really showed up. You wanted to share. You wanted to learn something. You opened up very quickly. And I'm impressed by the openness, by how much you shared, by how honestly you entered this conversation that was sometimes a bit difficult, challenging, and just by being so open and by sharing so much, you supported each other so much. It was wonderful to see how you benefited from listening to each other and from sharing your experiences with each other. And this happened in a context where many of you knew each other, but not everyone, and in particular, quite a few of you didn't even know me before. So I was really impressed by this open atmosphere and by how you really made the best of this time together. Really astonishing. So when I cycled back, it occurred to me, wow, these people didn't even know me and they opened up so much. And we had really a very dense and intense and very meaningful discussion. So let's see how much of this I can capture. I would like to begin with the opening questions. So first of all, I wanted to know, and this had been communicated to you before, so I'm sure that some of you already thought about it. My first question was the associations that you have with the word network or networking. What comes up in your mind? What pictures, experiences, feelings? Maybe what is your definition of network or networking? So this was my first question. And when we shared, most of you said that a network is a combination of people, it's about connection, about communication, it's about different ideas, about learning from each other. Then you had various aspects, for example, starting a network, enhancing a network, expanding it, maintaining it, using it. There was the question of how can I be part of a network? What does it mean? Most of you had a positive connotation. It was a lot about community and support and interaction. Some of you had a professional approach, so it was about professional communication, job opportunities, research collaboration. But others said, oh, why not also include the social aspects, maybe family, friends? It's about reaching out to people. It's about knowing someone who knows someone. There was a lot of social skills connotation. Some of you said that they sometimes feel awkward in networking situations, that they have to go out of their comfort zone to interact, to maintain their network or to expand it, to get to know new people, so they found it challenging. What else? Some of you also wanted to include companies, institutions, not just individual people. It's about sharing information. It's about different perspectives, people, different backgrounds. On the other hand, sometimes you said that networking opportunities arise from having something in common, for example, having a joint hobby or something. So I think that covers most of what we said. And I made a note here to myself that there was a very wide spread of definitions of networks. So in this group of, I think, 13 people, we covered a lot of ground when it comes to what is a network, who belongs to my network, and how do I use it? What does it mean? So there was everything from a very closed, tiny circle of people, just professional, just close collaboration, all the way to huge expansive networks, lots and lots of people, everyone where I know the phone number or the email or something. So that was astonishing. And this is where I want to close the first question. The second question was about expectations and your intention, why you came to this workshop. So basically I asked you, why are you here? What do you expect? And many of you replied that you want to just reflect on how to build a network, how to expand it, how to get use out of it, how to find out what you should do as a node in the network. So how can you benefit, but also what can you give? And some of you wanted to have some hints, some tips and tricks. You wanted to share experiences. And some of you were also interested in a more systematic approach to network building and network maintaining. So that was, yeah, the common ground, I would say, with various aspects that sometimes were quite individual. And this was my cue to say that in this workshop, my intention was not to give you kind of a list of things, boxes to tick so that you're a good networker, or maybe something like 10 steps to the perfect network, but instead, I wanted to give you lots of questions to reflect on and then sort of guide you towards finding out what your personal approach to networking could be. Because our definition of network is quite individual, the way we want to use it and be a part of it is quite individual. And then depending on our social skills and our personality type and our career stage, it's also quite individual how we act in a network, how we make new connections, how we maintain established connections, how we use it. So rather than trying a one-size-fits-all approach, I wanted to give as many of you as possible the opportunity to find out what your approach to networking could be and how you can feel more confident in your personal approach. Next, I asked you about your current network. Maybe not so much a complete list of people, but maybe a guess. How big is it? What are the types of people? Who counts as a member of your network? Who doesn't? And there were lots of possibilities how to answer that. I really just wanted to get you to think about the current situation also as a starting point, because if you already feel that you have a big network and you have lots of people in it that you think are important for you, and maybe it's fine to keep it this way and maintain it, great. If your network is really small and you would like it to be bigger, then we have to talk a bit more about expanding it. So just start where you are, basically, and I wanted you to reflect on where you are and where your starting point is. So sometimes this was quite specific and you really named quite specifically the groups of people that belong to your network. Sometimes it was a bit more vague, a bit more unspecific. That's fine. And again, we had a huge range from maybe just close colleagues or the Beam Consortium over to maybe family and friends, social contacts, for example, via hobbies. So there was this wide range from people being close by all the way to kind of loose acquaintances somewhere. We had things like former student colleagues or even former school friends, people you have worked with in the past. Sometimes it was even, it's a person where I have some contact details, telephone number or email or something. And this means that this person currently belongs to my network. So that's a very wide definition. That is, I think, quite close to my definition, at least for this second layer of network. We will come back to this because for some people, I think that a good approach to networking is to differentiate between the close and very strong network of maybe just a few people with very close interaction, close connection, and a lot of maintaining work to keep the connections strong. And then a second layer of loose connections with maybe lots and lots and lots of people who are a bit further away. I will come back to this. The next question was about benefits. How do you benefit from your network, or maybe how would you like to benefit from your network in the future? And conversely, how does the network benefit from you? What do you bring into the picture? What are your strengths, your superpowers that you offer people who are in a network with you? That was fun. That's also where we began to see even more how much the individual personality plays a role and social skills and how you perceive yourself in your behavior. So this was really a fascinating round. Some of you were very conscious of their role as a knot in the network. So when I have a network, then not only are the other people knots in the network, but I myself am also a knot. So just by being present and by being there, it means that I am already a part of other people's networks, which means that by going through me, they can also make new connections. And I think it's important to notice that this already is a role that you play, that you can play very actively by really going out and using all these connections also for other people's benefit. But it can also be a role that you just have, and you can even be passive about it and just see what comes your way and where you can be helpful. I'm mentioning this because this is something that came up a few times. Am I a very active networker, or am I a bit more passive, or do I feel passive, and why is that, and how can I work with this? Some people wanted to use their network to ask for really specific things, specific information, specific skills, maybe ask favors, maybe ask for knowledge about job opportunities, for an internship, lots of things. And then it depends on the career stage whether you can give back in the same way to the same people in your network. Maybe not. Maybe you can give something else back. Or maybe you can give something similar back, but later, or maybe to different people, which is fine. I think it's important to notice this. And even if there is some imbalance or some perceived imbalance or asymmetry, that doesn't necessarily mean that this is bad. It's just something to be aware of. If in a network, some people seem to always just use other people and ask for things, and if the community has the feeling that they don't give anything back, then it could create a disbalance that is problematic. But very often this is not even how it works. They give something back, but maybe something different. So this is how I invited you to ask yourself, what am I giving back that maybe I'm not even aware of? So for example, some people said, what I give to the community in my network is that I'm very open. I share information, I'm generous with my time. Some people said, I benefit from my network because I can ask people for opinions, for advice, I get an outside view, and I offer exactly the same in areas where I feel comfortable. Some people emphasized how their network gives them strength and support and encouragement when they are in doubt, when they have a difficult decision to face or something like this. So there were various aspects, and I think the most important thing I took out of this conversation was how some people were not even aware of what they are already offering people in their network. So maybe this is something to take home and to reflect on a bit more. Maybe there are some things about you and about your personality that you don't even appreciate as much as other people do, and it can be one of your superpowers to bring this into a network and share these strengths with other people. So this can be maybe that you are a very good organizer, maybe you are very knowledgeable, maybe you are a very good listener, maybe you have attention for detail, maybe you are the kind of person that other people trust, they feel comfortable talking to you, they ask you for advice, maybe it's easy for you to maybe you're kind of outgoing, it's easy for you to talk to people, and therefore you can be a valuable network member to introduce others to new people. Maybe you are a fantastic speaker and it's great to know you, because if you want to invite someone to give a talk at a conference, you're the person they ask. You know how there is this big variety of things you could bring to the table, and sometimes it's not the most obvious thing that makes you a valuable network member. So I encourage you to think about this a bit more. Then there were cookies. I had some homemade cookies that I brought, and I offered every person a cookie before the break, and I asked you to reflect on what cookies have to do with networking. Also, I wanted you to, in the break, think a little bit about what we've done so far, maybe collect some aha moments, some surprises, and then after the break, you went into small groups for a bit and you discussed a little bit what we have done so far, and you discussed the cookie question, and then we talked about this briefly in a different format. So before, we always went round. So I usually assigned a starting person, and then we went round until everyone had shared. So everyone got a lot of space. Everyone was encouraged to speak. And the only reason not to say much was something like, everything I wrote down has already been said. So now, after the break and after the small groups, I invited you to just shout your answers at me. So it was not going round and everyone shared, but I asked you to just tell me what you think, and then there was some randomness in it. Some people spoke more, some people didn't say anything. So this was also an exercise and an experiment in group dynamics, which is important to... So I think it's important to realize how you feel in situations like this. Do you feel more comfortable when you have an assigned space where you are supposed to speak and you can take up a lot of room? Or do you feel more comfortable when it's kind of spontaneous and you can say something but you don't have to? So this also has to do with communication situations in networking situations. And sometimes you can influence the situation and how people interact. And if you can influence it, then you can think about what makes you comfortable. But you can also think about what makes other people comfortable, and maybe you can come up with formats that suit different personality types. So in this workshop, I also tried to find formats that fit many different personality types. Now for the cookies. Food and networking are deeply connected. Very often, interesting conversations don't happen before or after a talk immediately, research related, but they happen in the coffee break or maybe at the conference dinner. This is often the case at events that have a networking aspect to it, like poster sessions, conferences, seminars, your decolloquium, for example. And the cookies were symbolic for breaking the ice, offering something, have to have a conversation starter. The coffee break, where you also often have cookies or something, can be an opportunity. You know, you're standing there, you have your coffee, it's a situation where you're not necessarily examined about your knowledge. It's maybe people ask you about your research, but it's not, you're not in a situation where you necessarily have to talk about your research. You can also talk about other things. And some people find it easier to get into a conversation there. On the other hand, some people hate this. They hate small talk. They find it much easier if they have, for example, given a talk and people ask them questions about their research. Or maybe they're standing in front of a poster and people ask them questions about their project. So again, what works well for one person doesn't need to work well for the other person. But food as a sort of catalyst, food as an icebreaker definitely plays a role. So this is why, one of the reasons why I introduced the cookies. Also, I'm the kind of person who just really likes to share food. Some people also said that if you have something like coffee, tea, or a cookie, that it just gives you a good feeling. It makes you comfortable. So for some people, this already helps them feel more comfortable in a networking situation. Now I need a sip of tea. For the surprises and the aha moments, some people said, actually, I'm already better at networking than I thought. And I just realized this now with the questions that we answered. Some people said, I am reflecting my role much more now in the network. Or maybe they said, I just noticed that my definition of network is much different from everyone else's. So this is interesting. Some people said that they now begin to realize much more how they can contribute to a network, how they can be an important member, how other people can benefit from them. So it's a bit like noticing what I'm bringing to the table, noticing my strength that I can offer in a network, rather than just focusing on what can I get, how can I use the network, which is an important change of perspective, I think. Some people said that their key insight was that people who are a bit shy, maybe a bit introvert, or maybe feel a bit awkward in social situations can still be really good networkers. They just have to find their angle and their individual perspective and create situations where they can use their strengths. Another aha moment was that in a network, everything doesn't have to be balanced overall all the time, but maybe just in the course of your lifetime or your career, things will balance out somehow. So as a young person, your networking skills might be very different from what happens when you are 20 years older. As a PhD student, your networking skills and opportunities are different from the ones of a professor. So we don't need to expect, or we shouldn't expect, that in a network we always give exactly the same things that everyone else is giving, and that we are as important, and that we can sort of add as much information or create as many opportunities as other people who are, for example, more advanced. That's fine. Your role in your networks will change over time, and then over the span of decades, I'm sure that many of you will give back maybe even much more than they received from their network. It will change. So maybe you are a student or a PhD student, and then you benefit from contacts for internships, new collaboration opportunities, invitations to conferences. And then a few years later, you're a postdoc, and then you can give younger people advice and introduce them to people and invite them to give talks and create opportunities for them. So you give back, maybe to a slightly different group of people, but that's fine. This is exactly how things should work, in my opinion. The next question was about your personal networking type. So this was the huge bulk of the second part of the workshop. We took a lot of time for this, and I think that was great because it was really, really interesting to listen to your statements about this and to watch how you learned from each other and how you encouraged each other. I offered you a few pictures just to have a visualization of how networks can look and where you can be placed in in a network. So there is a type sometimes called broker, where you're kind of in the middle and you have lots of connections to people who are also sometimes connected within themselves as a group. And then you have some sort of individual contacts and you are somehow in the middle managing. Then there is the conmener type, where you are in the middle of a very dense network where all the knots have the same importance and the same weight, basically. And then there is the expansionist type, where you are in the middle and you have tons of individual contacts to individual people, and you don't really care about their network and how things work from there. It's really just about having this initial contact. And so there are maybe not many connections between the people in your first layer network, but it's huge, just many, many, many people. And next time I talk about this, I will definitely offer a fourth picture that I came up with after yesterday, or together with you, because I really like this idea that you have just a tiny network of very close connections and strong connections immediately around you. So maybe just a group of 5 to 10 people, maybe even fewer, with strong connections, with a lot of information exchange and strong ties. And that's your level one network that you maintain very, very strongly. And then there is a level two network of people who are somehow a bit further away. The connections are more loose. And then maybe there are tons of them, many, 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 many such connections. And then they have lots and lots of connections. So this is where your network gets really, really big. But it doesn't need this intense maintenance because the connections are loose. It's more I've met this person once. I've talked to this person once at a conference. I have the email, so I can write to this person. It's not awkward, but it's not a really close connection. Maybe differentiating in this way is the right thing for you. So it definitely resonated with me when we talked about this. And then the picture I would draw, and I need to come up with a good name for that, would be a fourth picture where I have a knot and just a few knots at equal distance and interconnected. So it's a tiny kind of close setting. And then more a second layer with lots and lots of connections that look a little bit like what the expansionist is doing. So I will come up with a picture, and I find it really exciting that our discussion gave me a new picture with a new type of network. So thank you very much for that. Now I have to find my thread again. Yeah, it was the personal networking type. So I offered you some pictures and we talked a little about our associations, and so I just asked you to follow your gut feeling and to think about where you would place yourself. And then one or two of you, I think, said, oh, I'm not really sure. Maybe I'm not any of these types. Maybe I'm something a bit different. And we also talked about your interpretation of the pictures, because for some of you, just having a knot singled out, namely you, already got the association for you that this dot is somehow more important than the others, whereas others just took this as a marker where you stand in this picture. So that was interesting. I always like drawing pictures and just seeing how people respond to them and what associations they have and what they find important. So thank you for also being really honest and open about how you felt about these pictures. So how does your personality, how does your behavior in social situations influence your networking type? How can you create occasions where you can play your strength? How can you create occasions where people in your network benefit from you most and where you feel comfortable making new connections, for example? So with me, for example, I like one-on-one settings, I like small group settings, and if it's bigger, then I feel more comfortable if I have a role somewhere in the background. So I like to organize stuff in the background. I like to be a contact person. I like to be the one who shares information. That's fine for me. And this is a role where I have created a huge network. But lots of these strands are loose. They also don't require a lot of maintaining. And then there are some other connections closer to me that get a lot of maintaining, where I have a lot of purpose and intention, and I find it really important to keep these connections strong. So for you, well, I made some notes, but I didn't want to make this too personal. So some of you said that it's depending on context. So if you know people before, then you feel comfortable in the situation, and then it's also okay if one or two new people come along. But if everyone is new, then maybe you feel uncomfortable, so you prefer to be introduced. And so a thing in your toolbox could be, how can I create situations where there will be a person who can introduce me? How can I maybe team up with someone who is more outgoing, so this person can introduce me? And what can I give back to this other person so that we can make each other stronger in our networking activities? So that was something that we added together to the toolbox of people who felt like this. Some people felt really comfortable in large groups. They felt comfortable introducing others. So again, a great opportunity to team up and to play your strengths. Some people looked for specific contacts, so they said, I think my networking type is to specifically look, who do I want to get to know, who has some skills I would like to learn, how can I approach this person? And then again, we gave some advice, some tips, we exchanged ideas, how you can create situations where you can naturally approach such a person without feeling too awkward. How can you invite a person to become a part of your network, learn from them, and conversely, what can you give back? How can this person maybe benefit from the contact with you? Connections can be made via hobbies, for example. Maybe a person gives a talk and there are some side comments, some stories about hobbies or family members or places the person has visited or whatever, and maybe this is something to pick up on and then to go there in the coffee break and say, oh, it was so funny that you told the story about what happened to you in Spain at this conference, blah, blah, blah. Actually, I always wanted to go to Spain, and maybe you can tell me a bit more about the city because I've always been interested, blah, blah, blah. Or maybe you just go to a person and say, I really enjoyed your talk and I have two questions now that I would like to ask you if you have 5 minutes to talk to me. I really loved how you gave advice to each other, how you related to each other's experiences. So that was great. Several times someone said something like, oh, I always feel awkward in this situation, or I find this really difficult. And then someone else would say, yes, I understand. I feel exactly the same. And here's what I do to feel better. I loved that. Thank you so much for being there for each other and supporting each other in this way. I found it interesting that some people said that they feel a bit passive as networkers, and then we tried to reflect on this a bit and find occasions where this person maybe has not been as passive as they thought, and it was possible for us to name a few things this person has already offered in their network and make the person a bit more conscious of that. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes you are already a better networker than you think you are, and you just need to be a bit more aware of your strengths and what you bring to the table. Some people said, oh, I'm not really active and outgoing, but if people ask me to contribute, then I do, and I deliver, and I'm reliable. And that's great, because then it gives you this kind of reputation, and reputations like this usually spread. We talked, this was a recurring theme, talking about large groups versus small groups or one-on-one. For people who feel a bit awkward just going somewhere and talking to people, we thought that things like poster sessions or lightning talks or something like that might be great opportunities to be exposed, but in a way that is maybe not too scary. So if you're standing at your poster, then you are there, and you know that if someone approaches you, then this person is really interested, so you don't have to feel awkward. You just share your knowledge. We also shared some tips about small talk practice, and I would like to repeat that it's okay if not everyone is comfortable at small talk. And also, personally, I don't like small talk very much, so I'm getting better at it. But I really hate long, superficial conversations. I really don't like it. So I try to keep the kind of small talk thing to a minimum. I like to go deeper in a conversation. And if I feel that someone is not interested in this for whatever reason, okay, maybe I don't have to talk to this person all the time. Maybe there's someone else who is more interesting. But quite a few of you mentioned that they find small talk situations awkward and weird and they get anxious, they don't know what to say. Perfectly understandable. There are some things that you can practice. Some things get better over time. I just practiced having some things ready that I could say or questions I could ask. With some people, the conversation gets easier if you ask them one or two questions and then they start talking and then it feels less awkward. But for some people, it's a remaining problem. And it's okay if maybe you are never really comfortable with small talk. That's fine. Find your threshold. Find this bit where you can still go out of your comfort zone a little bit and it's okay and you can manage and then take it from there. Many people are actually happy moving from the small talk level to a deeper conversation. Most people enjoy it when you ask them something about their life or about their research, about new projects, about new plans they might have. So there are ways how you can get out of feeling like you have to do small talk. It takes a bit of practice and there is no one size fits all approach here. It's really about where you are and what makes you feel a bit more comfortable and how much you feel like you want to stretch yourself. Because if you hate small talk and if you get yourself in situations a lot where you have to do it, then it's exhausting. So it's worth thinking about, where do I want to put this energy? When is it really important and what should I practice? Where is it worth stepping out of my comfort zone to do this? And where not? Maybe I don't need to get into all the possible situations where I would have to do small talk. Maybe it's a good idea to take a few, put my energy there, and otherwise try and find situations where I feel more comfortable. That's a very individual thing that I think would be difficult to discuss in a group setting. So I was very, very glad that you brought it up. And I think that if you get stuck there and you don't feel like you're making progress, then maybe this is an opportunity for personal coaching. Just as a thought for you. I think that was basically it. I asked you for some feedback. I asked you about your impressions and what else you would have liked to discuss. Again, you shared about how you enjoyed that everyone got so much space and you could really share and how you supported each other. And as I said, I was really impressed and amazed by this too. And then some of you asked questions like, okay, now that I feel a bit more comfortable with the network I have and I have some ideas now how to expand it, how do I maintain it? How do I use it? How do I keep my network stable? How do I use my social skills? How do I expand them? How do I manage my energy when it comes to networking? All these are great questions and many of us agreed that there should maybe be a part two of this network workshop where we pick up this question. So yeah, I will think about it and then maybe I see you next time again in a networking workshop where it will be something like, now I have my network, now what? Now what do I do with it? This will be fun. So I really enjoyed our setting. I really enjoyed these 3 hours with you. Thank you for showing up the way you did. Thank you for sharing your energy and your ideas and your experiences. I really look forward to next time. And now let me try and start this music again. Can I? Let's see. There it is.